Ulisse Di Corpo.
And I am Antonella Vannini.
We are husband and wife and working on similar topics, so it will be a mixed presentation this. The topic is syntropy, which is a mathematical model which was developed by an Italian mathematician in 1941. Pantapiede, while working on the energy momentum mass equation of special relativity, the problem with this equation is that it is a quadratic equation and it has two solutions. One it is positive and one it is negative. The positive solution describes energy which moves forward in time, whereas the negative solution describes energy which moves backwards in time. More precisely, the positive solution describes energy which diverges from the past towards the future, whereas the negative solution describes energy which diverges from the future to the past.
Okay, and in order to eliminate the unacceptable negative solution, which predicts energy that propagates backwards in time, Einstein considered the momentum equal to zero, on the assumption that difference in the speed are extremely small among physical bodies when compared to the speed of light. When the momentum is set equal to zero, the energy momentum mass equation simplifies in the famous E equals mc squared, which always has positive solution without any reference to the direction of time. However, in 1924, Wolfgang Pauli discovered that electrons have a spin, a momentum next to that of the speed of light, which can never be equal to zero. Therefore, in quantum mechanics, the simplified equation of Einstein cannot be used.
And the full energy momentum mass equation should be used. Now, consequently, in 1925, the physicists Oscar Klein and Walter Gordon formulated the first equation which combined quantum mechanics with special relativity and found themselves in front with two of the two solutions, one which describes matter, energy, and waves that propagate forward in time, and the other one which describes matter, energy, and waves which propagate backwards in time. In 1926, Schrödinger removed the relativistic component from the Klein-Gordon equation and formulated his famous wave equation. In 1927, Klein and Gordon formulated again their equation as a combination of Schrödinger's wave equation and the energy momentum mass equation of special relativity. In order to better understand the implications of this equation that combines quantum mechanics and special relativity, it is important to note that there are three typologies of time which these equations predict. One is causal time, which is typical of diverging systems, for example, our diverging, expanding universe. In these systems, causes precede effects, entropy prevails, and time moves forward from past to future. This is what the ancient Greeks used to call chronos. The other type of time is the retrocausal time, which would be typical of converging systems, for example, black holes. In these systems, effects precede causes, syntropy prevails, and time moves backwards from the future to the past. And this is what ancient Greeks used to call kairos. And a third type of time would be the super causal time, which is typical of a system in which diverging forces and converging forces are balanced. For example, atoms. In these systems, causality and retrocausality coexist and time would be unitary. And this is what ancient Greeks used to call aion.
In 1941, Luigi Fantapie, a close friend of Enrico Fermi, invited by Oppenheimer to become a member of the exclusive Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, began to list the mathematical properties of the positive and negative solutions of the fundamental equations which combine quantum mechanics with special relativity. Operating in this way, he discovered that the positive solution is governed by the law of entropy, whereas the negative solution is governed by a symmetrical law, which Fantapie named syntropy. In Greek, syn means converge, to converge. The law of syntropy describes energy concentration, increase in complexity and differentiation, the formation of structures and order. By listing the mathematical properties of syntropy, Fantapie realized that they coincide with the properties of living systems and came to the conclusion that organic matter is governed by the law of syntropy, whereas inorganic matter is governed by the law of entropy. Fantapie failed, however, to translate this discovery in experiments, and mathematical theory of syntropy fell soon in oblivion. According to Fantapie, life cannot stem from the laws of a macroscopic world, since they are governed by entropy. Consequently, it should originate from the quantum level of matter, where syntropy is available. How do properties of syntropy rise from the quantum level of matter to the macroscopic level of our physical reality, thus transforming inorganic matter into organic matter? In 1925, the physicist Wolfgang Pauli discovered the hydrogen bridge, or hydrogen bond, in water molecules. Hydrogen atoms are in an intermediate position between the subatomic level and molecular level and form a bridge that allows syntropy to flow from the quantum level to the macrocosm level. Hydrogen bonding increases the cohesive forces and characterizes the water molecule, making it different from all other liquids, with attractive forces 10 times more powerful than the van der Waals forces that hold together the molecules of other liquids. The hydrogen bridge, which allows syntropy to flow from the quantum level of matter to the macrocosm level, turns water into an essential molecule for life. Water is the essential element for the origin and evolution of any biological structure. And if life were ever to start on another planet, it would certainly require water.
Now, starting from this dual solution of the energy momentum mass equation of special relativity, the mathematician Chris King speculates that consciousness arises from the constant interaction between objective and quantitative information from the past and subjective and qualitative feelings arriving from the future. This interaction requires that living systems make choices, and free will would stem from this constant process of choice. The present moment, according to Chris King, would be the meeting point of information arriving from the past and anticipatory emotions that arrive from the future. According to this model of Chris King of free will, we are constantly choosing between logical, rational thinking, which corresponds to the positive solution of the equations, and emotional, intuitive thinking, which corresponds to the negative solution. Since the positive and the negative solutions are perfectly balanced, a similar amount of stimuli are received from the past and from the future. This would be the reason of the perfect division of the brain into two hemispheres. The duality past-future can therefore be represented more properly, replacing the human figure that we had on the previous slide with the figure of the two cerebral hemispheres, where the left hemisphere is the seat of logical reasoning, rationality, and language, and the right hemisphere processes emotions, intuition, images, symbols, and colors.
The main hypothesis of syntropy, of the syntropy model, is the following retrocausal hypothesis. If life is sustained by syntropy, systems that support vital functions, such as the autonomic nervous system, must show reactions before stimuli. In other words, the parameters of the autonomic nervous system, such as heart rate and skin conductance, should, according to the theory of syntropy, show pre-stimuli activations. In my PhD work, I conducted several experiments testing this hypothesis. Experimental trials were divided in three phases. In the presentation phase, four colors were presented one after the other on the screen of the computer. The subject was asked to look at the colors, and during the presentation, the heart frequency was measured at fixed intervals. In the choice phase, an image with four color bars is shown in order to allow the subject to choose the color which he thinks the computer will select. In the target phase, the computer randomly selects the target color, and shows the selected color full screen on the computer. The hypothesis was that in presence of a retrocausal effect, differences should be observed between heart rates measured in phase one during the presentation of target colors, that is to say, color which will be selected by the computer in phase three using an unpredictable random procedure. The presentation of the target in phase three is considered to be the cause of the heart rate differences observed in phase one. For each subject, trials were repeated 100 times. In this slide, it is possible to compare the heart rates associated to each color when the color is the target. This slide is relative to one subject. Results showed the retrocausal effect on all colors when the colors were target. The effect was very strong from a statistical point of view and from a quantitative point of view. In these experiments, controls were performed in order to study alternative explanations and to combine this model with other models, in particular the somatic markers hypothesis proposed by Antonio Damasio. Detailed results are available in the book Retrocausality, Experiments and Theory.
Now, according to this model, syntropy, we experience syntropy as converging energy, whereas entropy is diverging entropy, energy. Consequently, syntropy would act on the autonomic nervous system and be experienced with feelings of heat, of energy that concentrates due to the concentration of energy. The absence of syntropy instead would be perceived as feelings of emptiness and cold due to the energy loss caused by entropy. These feelings work as the needles of a compass, since they help us to guide to go towards choices which are beneficial for the future of the individual. The sensations associated with the autonomic nervous system, such as anxious feelings and heart feelings, inform us about future emotional states and would tell which direction to choose. Learning to understand emotions can be of great help in order to avoid suffering and negative outcomes, according to this syntropy model. Now, starting from these premises, the syntropy model suggests the division of consciousness on three levels. The conscious level, on which we are tuned during the time we are awake, connects us to the physical reality of existence. This level mediates feelings that come from the autonomic nervous system with information that comes from the physical plane of reality. The conscious level would be characterized by free will. The unconscious level, instead, governs the vital functions of the body, and therefore is called involuntary, such as heartbeat, digestion, regenerative functions, growth, development, and reproduction. In addition, it implements highly automated programs which allow us to perform many complex tasks without having to think continuously about them, such as walking, riding a bicycle, driving, etc. The autonomic nervous system supplies the body with syntropy, and it is therefore the seat of emotions that connect us to the attractor, which would be the source of syntropy. The unconscious level can be assessed during dreams or using techniques of relaxation and altered states of consciousness, such as hypnotic trance. The third level would be the superconscious level of consciousness, which would be in direct contact with the attractor. The attractor is the source of syntropy and of the energy of life, and is fundamental for our well-being and evolution. The superconscious shows the way, solutions, answers, and it is the source of inspiration and insight for the conscious mind, providing knowledge and intelligence which allow to solve problems. It sends messages through dreams or in the form of feelings of anticipation, presentiments, insights, and inspirations.
About intuition, the mathematician Henri Poincaré noted that the process of discovery can be divided into four phases. The first phase requires a period of conscious work during which we become aware of the elements that make up the problem. The second phase is an unconscious phase in which the elements are recombined on the basis of unconscious intuitive processes. In the third phase, the unconscious presents to the conscious mind in the form of an intuition, the starting point from which the conscious mind can work out the details. In the fourth phase, the conscious mind formalizes and verifies the conclusions reached by means of the intuitive process. The conscious mind is capable of a strict discipline and logical thinking, of which the unconscious is incapable. When only rational conscious processes are available, like in line A, which are based on objective and quantitative information, choices are not oriented towards the goal, the attractor, and this leads to the increase of entropy. When the rational conscious processes of formalization occur after intuition, like in line B, which orients the choice towards the attractor, entropy decreases and syntropy increases.
As a consequence of the fact that the syntropy model and the experiments on rational causality that we have been involved in show this key role of the autonomic nervous system and of the feelings of the heart, we have recently decided to coin a term that could, in a way, in which to put all this kind of study we are doing. And this word is cardiophenomenology, which derives from the Greek word phenomenon, logic, and heart, and which we hope it could become a field of research in the study of the phenomena of the heart. As we have told before, the research studies have shown that the heart reacts in advance to future stimuli. And Damasio, Antonio Damasio, has shown that the a poor perception of feelings and emotion reduces the ability to decide advantageously and to finalize our behavior. Now, this is our last slide. We see that we've taken very little time, not as much as we were thinking, probably because we have been reading our notes and that has made it clear, quicker. If you want to read more about what we are doing, you can access this website, which is cardiophenomenology.org. And I hope our English was good enough for you to follow us. And now we can start the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you for your attention.
Now we are waiting for questions. Well, now we're working in this moment on a field which is not retrocausality, because from this syntropy model, we have another model which develops that we call the vital needs theory, which is based on the idea that life is constantly faced with a fight against entropy. So we have, for example, material vital needs. We need to eat, to have a shelter, but we have also immaterial vital needs. For example, we need to provide a meaning to our life, and also we need to acquire syntropy, which is felt in the form of feelings like love. So there is a need for love. Now we are doing some research works in the social field with students of high school studying how these needs for meaning and for cohesion and love work in order to be able to give them, to provide them tools to avoid say suffering or bad decisions. Well, heart rate, a person that was an experiment on a single subject lasted more or less 1 hour. So what was error in the measurements that could affect the data was in a way spreading in all directions. Now, what we noticed is that on some subjects, the effect could show very strongly, and on other subjects, it was very difficult to see it. And probably because there were other factors that were influencing the data. The other point that we have seen with the data is that the effect on colors was not in the same direction for all the subjects. For example, some subjects had an increase in heart rate when the red color was a target. Some other subjects had a decrease. So when the data analysis was being conducted, putting all the subjects together, opposite effects were in a way eliminating each other. So we had to use data analysis, which was not the classical analysis of variance, but we had to go on another kind of statistical analysis. Would it be useful to posit that the field of consciousness that is retrocausally available is itself self-organizing cybernetically so as to maximize or attain some criterion such as love? Well, now, the idea is that this flow of energy backwards in time would be at the basis of consciousness, and the feeling, the sensation that we have, that we feel we exist. Now, energy that moves backwards in time would be converging energy for us. We move forward in time. So it is energy that is concentrates, creates differences, and it is absorbed. And it's easier to understand the feeling of life as energy that comes together instead of energy that goes away. And consequently, consciousness would be strictly linked to love. In my personal opinion, consciousness would, well, maybe I'm wrong, but I would say that the heart is basically the seat of the feeling of life. For example, when our brain is not working, we are not dead, according to cardio phenomenology, because consciousness is still there until the heart is beating.
The area we study is, if you want, the solar plexus, so all the area of the solar plexus, which is, according to, in our opinion, a big portal to retrocausal signals.
Yes, now the point, the question that Douglas formulated, the point about emotions is that we have emotions, feelings coming from the future, and we have emotions that are activated by the memories, by our brain. The point is to be able to distinguish between these two types of emotions. Now, we have worked with the faculty of economics about decision making. When strategic decisions are taken, intuition and emotions are key factors. Now, it is very important that someone that is performing strategic decisions is able to distinguish between say negative emotions that come from the past and that we from memories, and the feelings which are in a way guiding us towards the future. So certainly negative emotions in a way stop the flow of syntropy and the connection to syntropy. We have been having contacts with artists recently. This, what we call the attractor, the source of syntropy, time is unitary and would be, the creative moment, but also the aim would be characterized by syntropy. So syntropy is would be very much linked to creativity, to intuition, and to inspiration, and so in a way is linked to anything that has to do with creativity, which is arts, but could be any other kind of job. Like, for example, when I have done a lot of programming, when you get into creating a new program, you get into this kind of different type of time which works totally different from our linear time. Well, about unitary, that is very interesting, because some would think that unitary is homogeneous. Instead, in the idea of syntropy, energy converges towards this a unitary point in the future. For example, Teilhard de Chardin, that probably some of you know, he was talking about the omega point, which is the point towards which life is evolving towards. And syntropy, in a way, is very reproduces a model which is very similar to that of Teilhard. And what happens is that when we converge towards this unitary point, energy concentrates and differentiation increases. So we have a unitary process with the increase of differentiation and differences. So in a way, we have unity in difference. Well, you know, the vital about the vital needs hypothesis is that we have two immaterial needs, which are the need for meaning and the need for love. When a material a need is not satisfied, we have alarm signals that are triggered. For example, when we need to eat, we have the not starvation, but we feel thirst when we need to drink. And the same with immaterial needs. The hypothesis is that depression is linked to the lack of meaning of the person. It's the alarm bell that tells you that you have to provide a meaning to your life. Whereas anxiety, angst, would be the alarm bells that tell you that the need for love is not satisfied. So what comes out from this model is that when you work with questionnaires, for example, with people, they will show the central elements. The parts that will correlate more are the need to give a meaning to our, to feel that your life is worthless, has a meaning. And the other point is loneliness, which we have to avoid loneliness. I don't know if I was clear on this point. Now.
There's another question by Nelson.
Would this unitary time relate to experiences beyond linear time? Yes, what Nelson was saying is that this unitary time would be the time which is linked to the attractor. The attractor is the transcendental, the same level of consciousness. It's a different type of consciousness that we often we can experience in very special moments of our life.
Yeah.
Now, about the question, Douglas' question is that the idea is that evolution is driven by the future. When we often don't want to evolve, and that causes crisis. So our global crisis is just anticipating a new phase, or a new step of evolution that, in my opinion, will move the attention, the focus from the material reality to this immaterial reality of the needs for love and meaning. What is the basis of the hypothesis for change in heart rate regarding whether it goes up or down? For example, skin conductance is linked to stress and goes up when pictures presented are stressful. Now, just empirically, we have noticed that stimuli have to be emotional stimuli. For example, when we were not using colors, the retrocausal effect was disappearing, so it was necessary to have colors because there are emotions linked to colors. But each one experiences colors in a different way. So in some people, the same color can increase heart rate, in other people it can decrease it. So there was not a specific hypothesis about whether it had to increase or decrease. About what Nelson was saying is that the syntropy model is a optimistic, positive model. It says that this omega point, this final point towards which we are evolving, in a way is already there, but we have to because of free will, we can choose very different paths. And when we move away from this final aim, we have suffering. And the role of suffering is to take us back to our path. And so in a way, we would say that the future is already here, and humanity will inevitably go towards a positive solution, but it will have to go through a lot of crisis. Well, I don't understand exactly the question by Garston. As I was saying before, what we have seen that is important in this reciprocal effect are emotions. What seems to flow backwards in time is not information, but emotions with no information associated to them. I don't know if this was useful. Well, at the moment, our opinion is a bit like, you know, in physics you have entanglement, you have correlation, but with no flow of information. So you can have different points of space that are linked together, but this doesn't mean that there is a flow of information. This doesn't eliminate the possibility that there are other levels of reality in which we are in. So it does not all have to be explained with this syntropy model. Well, the subject had a baseline, mm-hmm. hard baseline, which varied, saying during an hour, but it was possible to calculate mean value differences within each subject from this baseline. And on these differences, then it was made the data analysis, the global data analysis, combining all the data of the subjects that participated in the experiments.
Sometimes, emotion can go back in time without info. Sometimes, very often, we feel uncomfortable with the feeling we have. And frequently, we don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes, in particular with gifted people, there is also information attached with the feeling. So we don't exclude that there might be also information attached with the feelings of what's going to happen.
But for example, if we get psychology, anxiety is a fear without knowing which is
the
object of your fear. And in our model, anxiety would in a way tell us about low quantity of syntropy which we are getting. And so we can be anxious, we feel anxiety, but we are not, we don't know what is the object. So in a way, emotions can move without information. Now, there are many properties that get together with syntropy, with this syntropy-entropy model. Now, it's not that syntropy is good and entropy is bad. They are part of a unitary system, and they coexist together. There are two polarities, but in a way complementary one to the other. And this creates vibrations. The way how entropy and syntropy interact creates waves. And when you have waves, they can resonate together. And the process of resonance is at the basis of organization. People that resonate in a similar way, they they get together and they, in a way, there is a synergy. There is a, they become a unitary system, and probably this could be a way how we can explain the fact that people start, in a way, anticipating also the other people movements. And you know, all this needs to be studied. Syntropy is just the beginning of a possible way of reading things that up to this moment have been outside science, because there was no way to justify these facts. And this is what we are interested about also.
We are absolutely optimistic regarding the future. We think that the attractor in the future is an attractor of love, which is attracting a new evolution for mankind. And so in the future, we will probably change our bodies, our mind, our consciousness. So we will be different. So maybe this is the period, the time in which we must be prepared for these big changes.
Yes, the point is that we are very focused on material needs and we don't pay any attention to these immaterial needs. So we usually try to escape from depression and anxiety, and we don't learn to listen to this sensations that are trying to tell us something. And in my opinion, the mind often, because of free will, we tend to go in directions which are opposite to syntropy. But then we have suffering that comes back and it doesn't use words. So we have to learn how to understand what suffering is telling us, but the aim of suffering is to take us back to the path, the direction of evolution. And there is not a way of informing people, because everyone has to learn its own path, its own way. And sometimes it can be useful to have a way to interpret what is happening to you. Some other times it may not be so useful. Now, about evolutionary theory, syntropy, in a way, it's not a creationist model and it's not a Darwinist model. It's a third possibility. What syntropy says is that life is the consequence of attractors that are acting from the future. So species are evolving towards their attractor, but there would be no shift from a species to another. There is not, say, as Darwin was saying, we come from monkeys or what. We have always been human beings, but in a very primitive way at the beginning. And if we would translate syntropy into religion, we would state that creation comes from the future and not from the past. And we are evolving towards the future, which is already in ourselves. For example, I'm a vegetarian, have been a vegetarian for 40 years now. And I believe that the structure of human beings is a vegetarian structure. But if we go back in history, we don't see humans that were really vegetarians in old times. So my opinion is that we will evolve towards being a vegetarian species, because our attractor in the future is a vegetarian attractor.
I will answer the question asked by Richard Mann. Well, I think that maybe for emotion, the signal to noise ratio may be greater, because we also have emotion from the past, not only from the future. So we have to learn by our own experience how to distinguish emotion from the past and emotion from future event, which is about to happen.
Well, about what Robert Jam is saying, we have put some of our essays and books in the Kindle format in Amazon, and we have used, say, this way of making our works available also because it is possible to change them in time and evolve what we have written. So in a way it's an evolutionary process. We don't have books that will stay in that way forever. And you can find what our books in this, you can link to them when you get into the website cardiophenomenology.org. Well, about Blair, the question is evolution about love. Yes, syntropy is the energy of love. And that was what Fantapierre was always saying, is that it is a unitary energy. It takes together. And if you see the properties of syntropy, they are exactly the properties of love. And when we experience this concentration of energy, this flow of syntropy in our autonomic nervous system, which is heat associated to well-being, that is the experience of love. Syntropy would act backwards in time from the future, and so our evolution is towards love and syntropy. And the problem is our mind, our free will, which distracts us from feelings and takes us in other directions. And suffering is necessary to force people to go back towards love. Now there is not a divergence between what we're saying and what Jung was saying. We have had several contacts with people in this field, but we have not, say, studied in depth what Jung was saying. But we know that probably we're saying the same thing in different ways. Now, I don't understand exactly the question formulated by Nelson, probably because we don't have all the information to... in our opinion, consciousness and love, in a way, match together. They would be the same thing, and evolution is would be driven towards the increase of love, and that would be also the increase of consciousness. So what, in a way, I would stress more is that when we go towards unity, which is love, we're not losing our individuality, but we are increasing our consciousness and individuality. Because in this process of unity, going towards unity, there is also the increase of the concentration of energy in different points, and that means that we have an increase in differences. So unity in difference, in differences. Well, about what Sharon is saying, we would be very happy to apply our theories in large systems. What we have been doing up to now was mainly trying to give to this model a scientific
background,
because the limit of the syntropy model was that in a way it was considered to be a philosophy, yes, philosophical model, because it was not possible to prove it experimentally, because the experimental method, classically, you have to manipulate causes and then you see effects. And so it seemed that it was impossible to prove what Fantapierre was saying, that there must be a retrocausal effect. Now, thanks to random event generators, which are able to manipulate causes in a way which is unpredictable in the past, it is possible to study effects in the past which are manipulated in the future by random event generators.
Thank you, Nelson, for the suggestion of the title for a new book, The Energy of Love.
Yes, we that agree. would be a very, very good title.
Very good title. What do you think about it?
Well, about the question Karen formulated, we have difficulty understanding really the meaning of the question. Probably you're working already on something that is very structured and complex. Anyhow, we would really love to cooperate with any one of you that sees a possible link with this theory and try to understand if there is a way to read what are your data through this model of syntropy. Well, about what Blair is saying, yes, at the beginning, pain would be a signal. But if we don't listen to this signal in order to go towards love, in time it becomes a symptom or it can become a illness. So the original cause of illnesses and symptoms is a meaning, is something that the signal of pain is trying to tell us, but it doesn't use words. So it's very difficult for us to understand what this meaning is about. Well, yes, about what Sharon is telling, we would very like to consider, or maybe we should email, you should tell us more about what your idea and project it is. You can find our emails in our website, and so if you can send us more information, if it is possible to think about a project in a village, we would very much like to work on something in this direction. We would be happy to
receive emails and comments also,
and start working together on possible projects. Our email, you can see it on the website, but we have also a Gmail, which is mine is ulisse.dicorpo@gmail.com, and Antonella is antonella.vannini@gmail.com.
Thank you to all of you.
Thank you very much. Okay, have a nice day. Day, and it has been a very beautiful experience also for us. It was the first time we were involved in a webinar, and it seems that it's a very powerful tool that works very well. Okay, thank you again.
Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're closing the connection. Goodbye.
Goodbye.